You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Chris Tabor, the special teams coach, is getting grilled about it now because he's meeting the media and he's trying to say the right things. A tough spot for the assistants to be in. Dan Pompey, one of the great football writers, tweeted, if you're going to fire your head coach, you don't tell him about it 4 days before and have him coach another game. I agree. I think we all kind of share that sentiment. It'd be very bizarre to tell the coach that, hey, listen, you're out at the end of the week. Just coach the Thanksgiving game for us because it's a short week. I can't imagine. Now, that's not to say that the Bears haven't made up their minds. Look, on merit, unfortunately, Matt Nagy just – he's going to lose his job at some point this year because the results aren't there. I mean, Yurko knows this exercise that we've done many times over the last year and a half or so.
Yep.
If we go back to the start of 2019, here's where the Bears rank in the 32-team National Football League. Points per game, 27th. Net yards per attempt, dead last, 32nd. Yards per play, 31st. Third down conversion percentage, 32nd. First quarter scoring, 31st. First half scoring, 29th. EPA per play, 29th. This year, they're 32nd, dead last in passing success rate. They're 25th in overall offensive success rate. They're 28th in EPA per play. They're 29th in points per game, and they're 31st in yards per play. That's why Matt Nagy's losing his job at some point. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy was brought here to fix the offense. He can't coach offense, unfortunately.
Yeah, he can't. Unfortunately, he is not an offensive genius by any stretch of the imagination. That's it. You can go over the numbers from every year. You could make a cumulative, Carm.
Yes.
Cumulative with every other team in the NFL, and the Bears will be near the bottom.
In the bottom four or five in every
statistical
category.
When you are in the bottom 15% of the offenses in the league, who's the guy that's in charge of creating whatever offensive magic you're supposed to have? If that guy was supposed to be Matt Nagy, then Matt Nagy's got to go. That's just the way it is. Life goes on.
Right. No coach could survive that, right,
no,
Yurk? I mean, that
nobody.
You just can't.
Nobody. Do you remember the great feelings we had in April when they said the Bears have moved up to a number 11? They take Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. Do you remember all the great feelings we had?
Yes.
Remember all the excitement? Everybody was a buzz, and it's like, oh, right quarterback, right time, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's all gone for naught. It's all gone for naught.
That's why you have to make a move, and you have to make sure you get it right if you can this time. They don't get it right very often, but you'd like to think that there's so much riding on this kid. Can you get it right and help him?
If for the sake of what you've done at the quarterback position, if for the sake only, you get somebody that is very compatible with that quarterback. And for me, that's one guy, and that's one guy only. That's it. It's easy. For me, all day, Ryan Day, every day.
I know. It
That's it.
A lot
You've got
sense.
One guy for this job, Carm. There's nobody else for this job, okay? Whether you like it or not, this is the way it's going to work. So you either figure it out or you don't figure it out. I'd hope that they would figure it out.
I was talking to our buddy JP, Jared Payton, yesterday for his show, Yurk. And,
yeah.
Like, you know, we were talking about, no football observer could look right now through 11 weeks and be like, wow, I can't believe Mac Jones is doing so well in New England, right? Like, this is not a declaration on how great Mac Jones is or isn't going to be. Like, you know, Trevor Lawrence could be better in 3 years. Justin Fields could be better. But is it any shock that if there's a spot for a rookie quarterback to land, it's New England with that structure, with what's in place there? I mean, like, nobody could be surprised that they're in first place and that Mac is thriving because they have what every great organization strives to have. They've got competent coaches. They've got, you know, Matt Nagy talks about the process, but they do the process there. They live it. And like, Mellor's reading the book. I'm going to read it. I'm going to try to get it this holiday season and read it. Mellor's reading the Seth Wickersham book. He was telling us yesterday, and he told me some stuff off the air. He goes, it's amazing when you, like, say what you want about the guy, how maniacal he is, and he takes all the fun out of everything. That might be, but all they do is win.
Oh, and it's fascinating, and it's funny to...
So Mellor, is it any shock that... Mac Jones is in the best spot, right?
As you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, of course not. It makes all the sense in the world.
Yes!
Listen, Cam Newton, for a couple weeks last year when he started, it looked like they were just going to, you know, move right in the not even miss a skip a beat without Tom Brady. Then Cam got COVID, things got a little sideways, and we've already documented multiple times the Patriots had like 9 players opt out due to COVID last year.
And Cam was still hurt, I think, a lot of last year. Let's face it.
So they were playing like a season that was weird to begin with.
Right.
But reading the book, it's fascinating. Like Belichick knew from the outset when he was hired in New England that the way he was going to handle his coaching staff, he had to make sure that, first of all, he hires young coaches and assistants who he wants to mold. He doesn't want guys who coming in who have these, you know, preconceived notions about how they want things run. He wants you to run his system, learn from him, he'll teach you. Then, with the offensive coordinators, he knows if they're going to get jobs, he wants them to be replaced. He started with Tom Brady during Tom Brady when he became the starter, having weekly meetings with Tom Brady. Just him and Brady. Charlie Weiss wasn't allowed to attend them because he wanted to make sure that he had a running dialogue with Tom Brady so that Tom Brady knew that him and Belichick were going to run the team and the offense, and he wanted that relationship with his quarterback. There's no doubt in my mind that Mac Jones is going to be successful when put in the position that he's in.
I mean, and that's why the Bears, you've got one thing to do as an NFL franchise right now, and that's find your franchise quarterback and make him happy. You know, and I know they can be divas sometimes. Like, I get it. Aaron Rodgers is a big pain in the ass. I get it. Russell Wilson probably sounds same thing out and see it. They're going to do it again this offseason with Russell. Who knows what's going to happen with that? I get it. But you better make that guy happy, because if you don't have him, you're doing it left-handed in this league. If we plot the chart and if we look at the, you know, and where are the clump of data points going to be? They're going to be the teams over the last 30 years that constantly compete for their division, win their division, and go to the playoffs, are the teams with quarterbacks. Do you see some outliers on the graph, Yerk? Yeah, you do. Every once in a while, great defense will pop for you here and there. Guy will catch a heater. Team will catch a heater. Do you want to be the outlier, or do you want to be in the big group of dots? I want to be in the big group of dots. So you better do everything you can to make sure Justin is successful, that you surround him with the right people, that you find out what he likes, what he wants. And maybe you're right, Yerk. Maybe that it starts and ends with Ryan Day. Maybe it does. I don't know. But you better, for a change, get it right to see if you can finally find your franchise quarterback. Because if you don't have that in this NFL, you really don't have anything.
Multiple data points. That's what I want. I want to be in the midst of multiple data points.
Thank you.
We go out to Mike in New Lenox. Mikey. Welcome aboard, kid.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just got two quick points here. You know, obviously with the news that came out about Nagy, you know, getting told that he's going to be fired on Friday, if that's not the most Bears thing in the world, I don't know. I don't know what is. Also, secondly, with everything that's been going on, you know, with Nagy, with this franchise in general over the last 2 years, call it, you know, I don't know who would want to come in and take over this dumpster fire that we have going on here. You know, the Bears franchise has always been one that's, you know, been looked at as a, you know, a great job, if you will. But, you know, coming into what they be coming into doesn't seem as appealing as it once used to. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'll listen now.
You got it, buddy. Somebody will want it. It's still prestigious. You're still, it's one of 32, like I said earlier, right, Yerk? I mean, these are prestigious jobs. These guys work their whole lives, most of them. Some guys are content and happy in college, but let's face it, most of them, this is it. This is the, like, this is what you're working for. You want to be the head coach of an NFL team. And however bleak the last 20, 30 years has looked, and the Bears don't stack up maybe with the teams they should stack up with, you know, in terms of history, the Steelers, the Cowboys,
the Green Bay
Patriots, the Packers, thank you. Like, I get it. The results aren't the same as those franchises. It's two Super Bowl appearances, for crying out loud. All those others have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 for the Patriots.
No, I mean, even the Philadelphia Eagles, a longtime team.
Sure.
Philadelphia Eagles were a good football team throughout the aughts.
Historic,
the 2000s. Up until Andy left in 2012 or 2013, whenever he left.
And so, you know, it's still a prestigious job, though. It's still the Chicago Bears. It's still the charter franchise. And if you could fix it, I mean, think about
people
what you're
love
worth.
You. People
love you. Absolutely. And so I do think it's still a prestigious job.
You know, I saw the thing, who's the best coach since Lovie Smith? Lovie Smith was a very successful coach here.
Yeah.
Right? But the law of tens, right? How many years can you be in one place?
That's true.
10.
And Lovie was here for 10. And look, but I mean, I told you, I gave you the record yesterday. The record since Lovey was fired is 58-80.
Yeah.
That's abysmal.
Yep.
That's a 420 winning percentage, right, guys. 420. Not good enough.
No, it's bad, Carm. Let's go to Jerry and Bartlett. Jerry, what's happening, kid? Welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks, guys. Carm, you're assuming that Nagy knew he was going to get fired Friday. I mean, we heard the story come out that Nagy was going to be fired, but, I mean, we didn't. We're assuming that he knew, and somehow I have a feeling that he didn't know, and everybody's doing that same thing at Hallis Hall that we're doing, going, oh, my goodness. And now I think they're just, like, you know, trying to put out a fire. They're either kissing his butt and now going to keep him till the end of the year, or I got a feeling he's already in the office packing the boxes, going to be sitting at home eating turkey dinner this week.
I don't know. Yeah, and I didn't believe. Make no mistake, that's not my report. That's Mark Conkle's report. I didn't report that Matt Nagy knew he was getting fired. What, right? I mean,
no. It's we're reacting to the, like you said, Carm, the news that Mark Conkle, who writes for Patch, reported this morning that he's hearing.
Yeah,
it's right. Been decided that.
Yeah, I mean, that
Thursday, caller
said, I assume that Matt Nagy knew he was going to get fired. I'm not sure what that means. I haven't assumed.
No, I think that caller may have been late to the party and didn't know that report is out there that Nagy has been informed. Whether or not the report is true is one thing.
Right.
But we're reacting to that.
Right. Yeah. I don't think any. I don't think any of us can get our minds around why you would tell the coach he's getting fired.
That, right. Even if that's your plan.
The only thing all of us seem to be saying, and every Bears fan that's called in is like, well, I guess the Bears couldn't screw up like that. I mean, that's pretty sad. That's an indictment.
I mean, that's the coaching equivalent of the red card, right? You come up to him Friday morning afterwards. You come into his office. You lay the red card on his table.
Geez.
Start packing champ. It's over.
You can't
that's it, right? Start packing champ. It's over. We're going to have a press conference at 11 o'clock. That's when we're going to announce that we're relieving you of your coaching
duties. You could never work in HR. You can't call me and start packing your bags, champ. Yeah. It's over.
That's
you can't
it.
Fire somebody that way.
Absolutely. In the NFL, that's exactly the way it happened.
Start packing your bags, champ.
Packing your bags, champ. There's nothing derogatory in any of that.
I didn't say derogatory. It's a little insensitive for crying out loud.
Oh, big deal.
Start packing. I love your
going. We all become so sensitive.
I love it. You're going like, hey, champ, start packing your bags. You're out of here.
Put the red card down. But you've been ejected from the building. It's time to go.
I think they do it a little bit more like this. They're like, listen, Matt, we appreciate your efforts and your hard work, this just isn't working out. We're going to make a change. Isn't it go something like that? That's why I love Yurko. Yurko would just call him and be like, hey, champ, listen, pack your bags. Here's your red card.
You know, maybe pour a bourbon for him.
There you go. That's at least a nice touch.
This thing got away from us. Yeah. It's not going to work out.
Right. Great effort. Tremendous. Clubhouse. Players.
Nobody does it like Yurko.
You won't be invited into the clubhouse to see the players anymore.
Listen,
we're letting
champ,
you go.
Go pack your bags. Here, champ, I got a box for you. Go pack up.
That's it.
Oh, my God, you killed me.
I think you'd do it a little more sensitively.
I would. I'd be like, listen,
I'd be
look
tried, at
him, it's
hey,
not working.
We both know what's happening here. Okay?
Oh, God.
You've had a miserable run.
312.
It's not us, it's you.
Yeah, it's not. I think
it's
I would do that.
Not us, it's
I think
you.
I would pull that. I'd feel too guilty. I'd be like, look, Matt, it's not you. It's us. We're the inept ones, but we've got to fire you now.
Oh,
Matt.
No. It's not us, it's you.
Yeah, no, be that, you. You are you, Matt. It's not us, it's
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
it's
you. I don't think I could do that. Yurko might be able to do that. I don't think I could pull that one off.
Yeah.
It's not us, champ. It's you. 312-332-3776. We'll grab some more of your calls coming up. Oh, my gosh. Matt Nagy's supposed to meet the media at 11:45. He's not on time very often.
Oh, no.
It could be interesting. We'll see.
He's tardy.
And we'll see if the Bears release some sort of statement. Being like, no, we're not firing Matt on Friday. I don't know. It's craziness. They got a game to play in 48
hours. We're going to do it today. We're not going to do it on Friday. We're doing it today.
We're doing it today. Yeah. We got a game in 48 hours. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cabo, Meller Hill is going to give us the waiver wire coming up in about 14 minutes.
Yeah.
Waiver watch day with Meller going into week 12. Three games, of course, on Thursday. I mean, still a lot of injuries. You got two teams with a lot of firepower on bye this week, too, because Arizona and the Chiefs are on bye this week, if I'm not mistaken, in week 12. So going to have to replace some of that. Still no Derrick Henry, obviously. Alvin Kamara. Is Alvin Kamara going to play Thursday or
don't,
no?
No, and Ingram's got himself banged up a little bit, too.
I know. And, you know, with the, when the short week, like when you're already missing, like this last week, and, you know, Allen Robinson didn't play, Kamara didn't play again, a bunch of guys. And, like, when you've got this short week for so many teams, how about CeeDee Lamb? I mean, in concussion protocol,
I
right?
I would not,
like,
count on him playing.
See? So you're talking about a lot of star power again here for week 12, especially with the three games on Thanksgiving for this week. So Meller's going to try to help us, even though it's starting to get to be a tough time of year for all that into week 12. But that's what Jeff's here for. He will do that coming up just after 11:30. We'll do McKnight at the Movies a day early this week since we're going to be off on Thursday for the holiday. We'll do that tomorrow. Yerk and I are working on Friday. And we could be talking about the Bears changing coaches.
Yeah, we planned on working on Friday the whole time. No matter what happens, we will be here on Friday.
Yeah, so we're going to do odds couple on Friday. Yerk and I will be here on Friday, absolutely. So 312-332-3776. Any other calls we want to get out to, Yerk, right now?
Yeah, let's go to Sherlock in St. Charles. Sherlock, welcome aboard, kid.
It's good to be on board. I have a theory here. I put my Sherlock Holmes hat on, and I've come up with a few data points that might lead to a possibility for the Bears' next coach. I have in mind a guy who had a top five quarterback retire on him. He's been saddled with a four-year extension of a journeyman, maybe, quarterback. And he is the very visible voice who stood out and defended the Bears in that awful call that went against them when not even any of the Bears coaches did it. I'm thinking that you put all this together, plus the fact that his name is the same name as one of the all-time legends of Chicago. I think Sean Payton is a fit in the bill here. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
I think there we're dreaming, Sherlock.
There's a relationship there between Sean Payton and Ryan Pace, right?
That's true.
Do you think is Tom Benson still with us?
No. His daughter.
His daughter runs the team. So the daughter may have less affinity for him. Maybe they want to go a different direction. Maybe they let him out.
Boy,
the EIU connection is strong there.
Do you really think there's any less affinity for Sean Payton in New Orleans?
Well, Tom Benson loved him. There's no gray area. I mean,
doesn't New Orleans love him, like, in general?
I would think they do. But that doesn't mean at some point then all parties are ready to move on. Who knows?
Yeah.
This could be have a half a percent chance of actually happening.
He's well past the 10-year mark.
1 in 50. Yeah. 1 in 50. More than that. It's like 1 in 400.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're probably right. Yerk, I remember there was a time. Now, he's been there since 06. So,
it's a pipe dream if it's going to happen.
It is a pipe dream. Yerk, coming out of Bounty Gate, right? Remember, he hadn't missed the year. They did go 11-5 his first year back in 2014 through 16, Yerko. I don't know if you remember this. Three seasons, 14, 15, 16. The Saints missed the playoffs every year. They were 7-9, actually, every year. So not horrid, but below 500 three straight years. And I remember foolishly thinking, like, is the bloom off the Sean Payton rose a little? Like, is it time? And then he ripped off 11, 13, 13, and 12 wins. And I'm even impressed that he's 5-5 right now. I got to be honest with you. He's a great coach.
He can coach.
He can flat-out coach. Will he ever leave New Orleans? I don't know. I mean, I guess you never say never. There is something to that whole, like, 10-year rule that a lot of these guys live by. He's past that at this point. Does he ever think about a new, different challenge? Does he ever think about what if he would come home to Chicago, like, if they'd make him an offer he can't refuse? I don't know, but it's all sort of moot anyway, because what would you even take to get him out of that contract? I mean,
yeah, they've given up draft choices before. When John Gruden left, there's draft choices.
That's what you're talking about.
There's been that type of compensation, yes.
They don't have many picks as it is. They don't have a first. You know, it's like
And again, that's more of a pipe dream and a philosophy. I mean,
it's a pipe dream.
Yeah, it's a 1 in 1,000 chance.
Yeah,
that's
a pipe dream. Boy, but I'd love it.
It's a great plan. Good theory.
You could sign me up any day if somehow you could pull that off.
Yeah.
I'd be
excited. Let's go to Randy in Seattle. Welcome aboard, kid.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So I don't know what's going to go down with Matt Nagy. Obviously, in my opinion, he should have been gone a while ago. But Matt Nagy right now is a guy that doesn't know whether to wind his watch or scratch his ass. It's apparent at his news conference or press conferences is horrible. But the thing is with this team, You can talk about Nagy and you can talk about Pace. And, oh, by the way, Carm, real quickly, your stats on highlighting how bad the Bears' offense is, mm-hmm. some of that has to go to Ryan Pace as well for
sure.
the players he's put on that offense.
It's a collective effort. I don't disagree with you, Randy. It's a collective effort.
Okay, but my point about this whole Bears thing, it doesn't matter about Pace and Nagy, quite honestly, because this is going to be a second-rate organization as long as the McClaskeys, as Yerke likes to say, still own this team. And they're not selling as long as Virginia is still alive. But selling this team is what it's going to take to get somebody with enough intelligence to get a football mind into the organization and bring football people in. And that's been apparent for decades. We haven't had football brain in this organization since the 80s.
No. No, I mean, think about it. Think about since the old man died, since Ditka left. I mean, under Ted's watch as president, they've had, what, 5 playoff appearances?
Yes,
isn't that right, Yerko?
5 playoff appearances.
We're spanning. Ted took over. I was finishing college, guys. I mean, Ted's been in this job. You're going on 24 years or so? Ted's been on this job 23 years? So, I mean, they've had 5 playoff appearances. Since Ted Phillips took over.
Every year you get the, what is it? Like it rotates out. I think every year they're in last place. It's like they get the easiest schedule. Or something happens where they play the last place teams and it was more imperative before than it is now. But, I mean, back-to-back playoff appearances is what you're looking for and you want.
That's happened once under Ted. I think it's 6 playoff. So when did Ted take over? About 99? Does that sound right? Because I think it was after the Dave McGinnis fiasco?
Well, yeah, it was Jaron then. That's
right.
He started with Jaron. That was
so it would have been 99.
Yeah.
So since 1999, the Bears have 6. So I shorted him one. Sorry. The Bears have 6 playoff appearances under his watch. That goes back to 1999. We're in the 2021, and they're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, okay. You're correct. It was 99 that he was 99. Promoted to team president.
6 playoff appearances, back-to-back playoff appearances, Yerk, once, 05 and 06. One and done in the playoffs, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 of those 6, right? Yeah, 4 of those 6 playoff appearances,
right.
One and done.
They made the NFC Championship game the one time, and they went to the Super
twice.
Bowl one
yeah.
time.
Yep, made the championship right. game twice in his watch. That's it. One and done, 4 of the 6 times, only 6 playoff appearances. Now go count the Packer playoff appearances since 1999.
Oh, you don't want to do that, kid.
No, you don't. Go count the Steeler playoff appearances since 1999. Go count the Patriots playoff appearances since 1999. Hell, go count the Cowboys playoff appearances since 1999. He takes crap down there. They get ripped.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Jones gets raked over the coals. They haven't done anything since the early 90s.
Absolutely.
Tony Romo was down there, got criticized for not being able to win a playoff game.
You want to count their playoff appearances since 1999?
I don't think you do, Carm.
It's not as many as I thought. It's 7. It's only one more.
Oh, one more. Well, but
no, I'm sorry. 8.
They still get criticized down there.
Yeah, they've got 2 more. Of course they do. They have 8 playoff appearances since 1999. Bears have 6. It's not good enough. Go ahead, York. Who's next?
The only one worse is Detroit. Rod and Skokie, welcome aboard, kid.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to ask you guys. Realistically, as Bears fans, we got to look at a timetable of at least maybe 5 to 7 years when we'd be considered a playoff contending team. And I'm just going by the 2018-2019 season. The Bills were at the bottom of their division at 6-10. The Arizona Cardinals were, I think, at the bottom of their division too. So that those teams have started to make the trend upwards, right? Like they've gotten their act cleaned up. Even the Indianapolis Colts, you know, they're fighting for top spot in the AFC. As Bears fans, we don't have that many draft picks coming up in the years to come. Our defense is not aging per se, but we're not getting any younger.
It's aging.
Obviously,
you're right.
We still have questions on, you know, our quarterback, even though it was his rookie year. So realistically, you know, not celebrating single game wins in the season as a playoff, when can we expect to actually be a contending team? And the last thing I'll say, Yerk, I know you're a Illuminati fan, is that correct?
Lou Malnati's?
I'm a huge Malnati's.
I think Carmen's more the Lou Malnati's fan.
York's not a deep dish guy.
Yeah, I'm not a deep dish.
You're not
guy.
A deep. Okay, well, if you're ever feeling the deep dish, even though you say you're not, you got to get the pepperoni on top instead of on the bottom. You get it well done. You'll thank me later. All right.
It's life changing. Thanks, buddy.
We'll take that recommendation. I don't have a problem taking recommendations. Yeah, pepperoni on the top, well done. That means you got to crisp them up and burn them and watch them curl.
I'm not a pepperoni guy.
I'm not against it. I'm a sausage, but I'm a ground sausage guy.
Me too.
Like the old John Pizzeria in Calumet City.
Yeah.
With the nice crust with the good bread. Mm.
I'm with you.
Modern Carmen. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Pepperoni, like, too artificial for me or something. Too processed. I don't know.
You're not a salami guy, you know?
No, I like a good salami.
Some
good
guys love salami. Some guys don't like salami, you know?
We have like a nice soprasata. Like,
yeah,
you know,
spicy or what do you know?
Sure,
gabagol?
Sure. Huh? I know I'm not a big gabagol guy.
Oh,
either,
boy. Hey, how come you never had a good piece of gabagol?
I've had some good pieces of gabagol.
Well, why now? Why no gabagol
like
now?
The
what happened?
Sopressata. I like the prosciutto.
Well, the prosciutto. The prosciutto is beautiful.
Yerk, how long before they're competitive? I mean, if Fields is good.
Listen, 2 years, guys.
Yeah.
2 years.
That's in all the NFL, takes. You can do that, right?
2 years. That's it. If the quarterback's your guy, you bring in Ryan Day, you let him adjust next year, maybe have a mediocre season.
Yep.
Fields gets more confidence, and then by the Fields' third year, that's your playoff year.
But Fields has got to be the guy.
Right,
if he is, you turn it around quick.
It's got to be Ryan all day, too.
Ryan all day. Since 1999, it's 15 playoff appearances for the Packers. To the
15?
Raiders. Six.
Only so 15?
Only. What do you mean only 15?
Oh,
only 15?
Only one Super Bowl victory, Carm.
Correct.
That's the criticism they like to throw out there.
I mean, only my God,
15 years.
15 times. They've been to the playoffs. 15.
What's their record in those 15 years? In the playoffs?
In the playoffs?
You'd have to imagine.
I might have to go back and look because I don't think.
When we come back from the break, yeah. Carm, not only is Carmen going to give us that number, but our guy here, Jeff Meller, is going to give us some of the key fantasy acquisitions that can be made if you're running short with buys and injuries and COVID, okay?
Yeah, we'll do that coming up, okay?
Yeah.
Carmen and Yurko.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Meller's got the waiver watch here in a second. Yerk, you asked, you shall receive. The Packers' record since 99 in the playoffs?
Yeah.
14-14. Of course, that's really juiced up by the 4-0 run the year they won the Super Bowl. But 14-14.
Right. How many times did they go one and out of those 16? Which is like, what a pleasure and luxury to have when you go to the playoffs that many times. But it looks to me like if I had to, when I balanced that record out, I'd take a look. It's probably five times they went one and out.
You're exactly right. It's five times they went one and done.
And there's nothing in front of me. No computers in front of me. That's just what the numbers sounded like when I meted it out mentally in my mind.
Yeah, 15 playoff appearances, 5-1 and outs, a 4-0 run to a Super Bowl, 14-14 overall.
Yeah.
Steelers have been 13 times since 1999. You don't even. I mean,
they got two Super Bowls or three in that stretch.
The Steelers have two.
Two Super Bowls.
Yep. Cowher won his, and then Tomlin won in his second.
Yep.
He's never had a losing season, by the way. He's 5-4-1 this season. Patriots, obviously, every year except for three. Every year except for three since 1999. York. Ooh. I just wish our team could be that good. Sometimes.
And don't look at Andy Reid's record because he started head coaching. He was a head coach in 99. I think he's been to the playoffs like
I'd say almost every year.
18 times.
Yeah. It's something ridiculous. It's almost every season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Got to find a coach like that. Find some players. Mm-hmm. Find a quarterback. Find your Rodgers. Find your Mahomes. Find your Brady. Go do it. I know it's hard. I get it. You've been looking for 60 years. For crying out loud. York, we're going to stay on a little late today, till about 12:30, I think, is the plan, right, guys?
I think that's the plan.
So we could turn around some Matt Nagy sound if he's
turn the
on
beat
time.
Around.
You know, he's going to be forced into some tough questions now because of this report that he's been told, which is just nuts if it's the case.
Before we send it over
that
to Miller,
Thursday's his last day.
I've got a new idea since you guys poo-pooed I Want to Build a Snowman.
Okay.
Two Little Drummer.
For the record, I was in favor of it.
I got you, but the Little Drummer, I thank you. I appreciate that, Jeff. It's a little drummer boy, right? Come, they told me.
Yes.
Right, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Become an author, they said, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. We're going to sing it about Randy Merck in his book. What do you think?
I thought you were going in the direction of Matt Nagy being told he was fired.
No, not yet, but that might be another idea. But I want to really
told I want to promote your job is done.
Because I figured after the first week of the book promotion that we've had here where we really hit it hard, we've reached like a 10-day lull. That's the 10th day lull.
Let's do it.
And I want to keep it going.
I appreciate
I'm
that,
I'm going to put a parody song together about your writing, all right?
That's phenomenal.
I love that. Thank
and
you, buddy.
And it's great to see on Twitter you threw another thing out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, another story.
Oh, another thrilling story.
Yeah. Yeah. With Jairus and Al McGuire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah,
that.
Thanks, Carl.
Oh, that sofa. What a beauty that is.
That's sofa.
Lazy boy, man.
It's a lazy boy.
Oh, what a beauty.
Hey, I'm sitting in my lazy boy right now.
I'm not shocked.
All right, let's get
I used to do the show naked when I was at home.
Yes. Well, I had my pants off. So.
Yeah.
Let's get Meller in here real quick just to give everybody a few suggestions as the waiver wire's open for week 12, again, between injury and some buys and, you know, six teams, three games having to play on the short week, what it means for the likes of CeeDee Lamb and guys like that. You're probably going to be hitting that waiver wire or going to your bench. So, Meller, where should we be looking going into week 12?
As you mentioned, it's not really enticing at this point of the year. We're kind of throwing darts at the board here, and I'm admitting that. So when you go ahead and, you know, you started Dante Foreman last week and you're a little upset with me, I will let you know I started Dante Foreman as well. In
as did I did too.
As did I.
So they can't all be winners, folks, at this point in the season. We're just trying to mine some gold here, if at all possible. I think the most interesting name who could help you immediately is New York Jets running back Ty Johnson, with Michael Carter going to be gone for at least 2 to 3 weeks. It looks like with a high ankle sprain, Ty Johnson probably steps in to become the guy who sees the most touches. They do have Tevin Coleman as well, but Ty Johnson's the guy who's been getting regular run even while Carter's been out there. So I think Ty Johnson is somebody who's probably the top priority on your waiver wire this week. If you want to get a little bit deeper, somebody who, again, this is getting completely, you know, we're dart throwing here, but DJ Dallas in Seattle, he had the same number of snaps last week as Alex Collins. Looked a little more dangerous when he was in the backfield. And unfortunately for Rashad Penny, he had one carry and then immediately injured himself. So even though it looked like it could be an opportunity for him, he seems like he is not going to be able to go ahead and answer the bell. So he is not in the mix for Seattle right now. I would say DJ Dallas is the other runner. Wide receivers, a pair of Moores for you guys here. Now, Rondale Moore, as you mentioned, Carm, the Cardinals are on bye, but they were throwing a lot of dump-off screens to him and extended handoffs that resulted in 11 catches. Now, in your standard scoring, I don't know if you're all that interested, but in PPR formats, he's a must-add, because if they're going to continue to use him in any way like that, it's just they're easy points. You know what I mean? You can't deny the fact that a guy gets 11 catches, even if he only goes for 50 yards. That's 16 points in a PPR format. That's huge. So Rondale Moore, I think, is a must-add if he's available. He's out there in about 80% of leagues. The Cardinals are on bye this week, as you mentioned, so you can't use him this week. But I think if you're looking, you know, for later in the season, he's somebody who can be a useful piece, especially if DeAndre Hopkins continues to miss weeks, which we kind of don't know what his status is going to be.
I mean, out of the bye, you think he'll play week 13?
Listen, I would think so.
You would hope.
You never know. Knee injuries, you know, wide receiver, if you're not able to be explosive, can you really help your team?
Yeah.
Another Moore, Elijah Moore. He went off for the Jets this week with Joe Flacco throwing him the football. He is a wide receiver who operates mostly out of the slot, but I think the fact that Joe Flacco kind of favored him this past week, it shows you that he's worth an ad as well. Those are probably the biggest names that I'm most interested in this week. Marquez Valdez-Scantling caught a long touchdown from Aaron Rodgers. I don't love starting him because it's basically is he going to catch you a bomb? If you're completely desperate, maybe he's worth an ad, but certainly not something that I really love adding if I can't. You know who, though, could be worth stashing is Will Fuller. It looks like he's about to return for the Dolphins, so I think he's worth adding to your roster as somebody who could be a home run threat and worth using later in the season. After that, I mean, there's really not much else that's really catching my eye, so I think those are the biggest names that I'm most interested this week who are available in most leagues out there.
Oh, you know what? One more.
If you're in a complete bind at quarterback, maybe Cam Newton. You know what? He looked effective. He's doing exactly what he used to do, running. And for fantasy purposes, there's always value in a quarterback who can score those goal line touchdowns. So Cam Newton might be able to help you out if you're in a pickle with your quarterbacks, especially with Mahomes and Kyler Murray definitely out this week. I'm by.
Logan Thomas ever going to play again?
I don't know. I mean, we've been hearing that he was going to return.
Yeah.
But the truth is, that's another guy, though, with Taylor Heineke.
Yeah.
Not very trustworthy. So
well, I just need to know if I need to not. Ertz is on bye this week, so I need to know if I need to pick up another tight end.
Pick one up, kid, if you can find her.
Yeah, I'm going to pick one up. All
trying to unearth a tight end for you. I'm running through my notes here if any tight end stood out to
me. Somehow Dallas Goedert is available in our league.
Oh, yes.
But I have a feeling I'm
low
in
waiver
first.
Priority?
I'm in first in the league, so I'm going to
Yeah, you're not going to get him. Goedert, the tight end position is always a wasteland if you're not talking about Kelce, basically, or Waller. Kittle, but I think Dallas Goedert is on that tier just below those guys. The problem for him is Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are only trying to throw like 15 to 20 passes a game, as they've gone very run heavy. But Dallas Goedert is seeing like 5 to 6 to 7 targets out of those 15 to 20 passes. So if he's available, that definitely go add him.
All right, I'll try to add him. I think I'm going to lose in the waiver wire, though. All right, Meller, great stuff. Thanks, buddy. Yurk, let's take a quick break. We'll grab more calls. We're going to stand a little bit late. We'll turn around the Nagy sound. We'll see what he has to say about the Mark Conklin report from earlier today, that Matt Nagy has been informed by the team that Thursday's his last day. It seems crazy. Could that possibly be? And what's he going to say about it if it is true? It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back. This hour of the show is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins of the Cats host to Paul, Illinois. What's going on with Illinois? Indiana and more at Walsh Ryan this winter.
They lost.
Tickets now. Yeah, they did.
Cincinnati, Carmen.
And Kofi was back. Buy your tickets now at nusupports.com.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko, going to stand a little bit later here, see what Matt Nagy says. We'll bring it to you. When we can, we'll jump into Greeny after that. Waddle and Sylvie back at 2, Black and Abdallah tonight, so lots of local programming to get us through the craziness of another Bears season as they are 3-7 going to the winless Lions on Thanksgiving. The Lions have lost, I was given the numbers yesterday, it's 4 in a row, and they're 6-15 on Thanksgiving since 2000, just 6-15. They're the Lions, man. They haven't won since week 13 at the Bears last year. So the last team they did beat was our beloved Bears, December 6th. They've won twice since last Halloween. They are 2-17-1. 2-17-1 in their last 20 games.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, they're brutal. And there's this report that Matt Nagy was told by the Bears that Thursday will be his last day. And I just can't believe it. As inept and as goofy as the Bears are, I just can't believe it. I don't know why. Not to say they haven't made up their mind. Again, maybe they are going to fire him. Maybe they have decided. Maybe they didn't want to do it Sunday.
Maybe internally. It comes from up above that we've already decided to do it.
I get it.
He hasn't been told, but that's what we plan on doing on Friday.
Right. I get that. And they didn't want to do it on a short week. But to tell the coach, to bring him into your office and be like, listen, Matt, Thursday's your last day. What? Why would you do that if you're going to fire him? What would be the point of that? It makes no sense. I just can't wrap my head around that they called him in and told him that.
I don't think he's been told at all. I think if they've made a decision, their decision is made. They've told each other. They haven't told him by any stretch.
I think that's more accurate. And I know Mark Conklin's an award-winning journalist. I get it. He's not really a sports reporter. He said that when he was on the station earlier today. But he knows how to report on a story. I mean, he is a pro's pro, but I can't see it. Maybe they did tell each other. Yeah, listen, Friday's the day. We're firing him on Friday. We're not going to do it before then because it's a short week. But it serves no purpose to bring your head coach in and tell him that Thursday's the last day.
None whatsoever.
None. Yeah. It only leads to, because you know it's going to leak. It only leads to a distraction. So I just can't believe it. We'll see what Matt Nagy has to say. Watch him walk up to the podium and be like, yeah, no, they told me. Yeah. Thursday's my last day.
Carmen, let's go to George in Old Town.
So Bears. Hey, George.
George, welcome aboard, kid.
Thank you, guys. It makes no sense to let him go before the game. It makes, look, you got to have a regime change. The collaboration between Pace and Nagy doesn't work. You've got to have a Bulls-type reorganization to make this. I like somebody like a Bill Parcells-type general manager picking his own new coach. I'm tired of watching Adrian Amos make all the plays for the Packers when we couldn't figure out how to keep him on, because you build upon your defense and then take your offense further. It's over, but it doesn't have to be over until the end of the year, in my opinion.
Thank you very much, George. Yeah, that's the normal course of things in the NFL. Again, you don't, not to say it never happens, sure it does. I mean, we know it does, but it doesn't happen as often as it does in these other sports, because the season moves fast, man, even at 17 games, for crying out loud. Like, it's not like fire, okay, we're sluggish the first 2 months out of the gate. We're the pick a MLB team. Going to fire our manager. You got 100 games left. I mean,
remember, yes, this is the great pacing of this league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's about. It feels like it flies by. It also gives you a chance to take a breath of fresh air, right? They play on Thursday.
If you made a coaching change, you mean, Yerk?
Yeah, I'm just talking about the way the league flies by.
Okay.
Yeah, you're talking about the way this flies. I mean, we are where we're at. And decisions have to, at some point, they get made. There are other teams in this league that fire coaches whenever they want to fire them.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it doesn't happen
often
historically,
right.
But yeah.
Right.
And I think it doesn't happen as often because you don't. This is, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Because you certainly are throwing the towel in at that point,
yes,
it feels
Yerk, I think that's right. You don't get the kind of pop that you get in these other long seasons.
You don't get the Dan Bylsma pop.
Thank you.
That's
yes,
a perfect one for you.
Yerk, I think that's right. You don't get that. You don't get the Trader Jack McKeon pop.
Or the firing of the St. Louis coach, and then St. Louis all of a sudden hit on all cylinders.
Like,
yes.
you don't, like in the NFL, it's
that pop's not there.
Right, and I think that's why it's become Black Monday. That first Monday, remember, that's when all the coaches get fired. The teams, there are eight teams every year, it seems like. There are 6 to 8 teams every year that know they're going to change the coach. And what we normally see is that Monday when the season's over in January, they're all fired. And just because I think the rhythms and the job, everything is so different and kind of unique to the NFL, and it's different than the other sports, you don't see it very often where coaches get removed midseason. And we know the Bears have never done it midseason. They might grow so frustrated that they feel like they have no choice. If they lose to the lowly Lions on Thursday, they might feel like they have no choice and they do it on Friday. Maybe they've already decided. I don't know. But normally you see it at the end of the year, and I certainly think we're headed to a place where Matt Nagy's going to be fired in January. Yes.
Well, that's where we're heading for sure, but we'll see if something's going to happen on Friday. Oh, boy, what a turkey day already.
It's already.
Do we do a four-hour show on Friday?
I don't know. If he's fired, I suppose, yes, we would go local.
I would think so, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Mike Greenberg's got some Chicago thoughts on that one, guys.
Greeny's not working Friday, though, probably.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
He's got to go talk about his Jets. I mean, Joe Flacco.
Oh, that poor guy.
Jeez, my God.
Joe Flacco. Remember when the Baltimore Ravens destroyed their team by paying a mediocre quarterback?
I do.
Yeah, tell me what his playoff.
Yurko tried to warn him, too.
Tell me what your playoff record is. Tell me what Joe Flacco's playoff record is.
Well,
it was something gaudy, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. When he caught that heater the year they won the Super Bowl, he was unbelievable.
This guy's great because he's got a great playoff record, blah, blah, blah. I had to hear. Then we had Kadri Ismail, the less talented of the two brothers.
Yeah, we did.
Kadri was on, and I tried to tell him, I go, well, do you destroy your team if you pay your quarterback? And he chuckled at me, and he chuckled. But who's in the chuckle hut now?
You are. You guys went at it, but you're
who's
the one with
the
last
chuckle
laugh.
Hut now? Who's the one laughing?
Yeah. John Harbaugh's like, man, I should have listened to that Yurko guy.
Hey, Yurko knew what he was doing.
Yes.
You get caught in the trap of having to pay the quarterback.
That's why the Browns can't do it. It's why the Bears couldn't do it with Mitch.
Yeah, they couldn't. They couldn't commit to a contract.
Like, and Mike and I finally had it out last
Friday.
I heard
it. Oh my God, that was classic radio, kid.
And I can't definitive. And I've never. I can't definitively say that Justin Fields will be great. I don't know that. I'm not an expert. I know I see some flaws. Sure, I see some great things too. But I have no idea. That's not the point.
The point is not that
Justin Fields is going to be exponentially better than Mitch.
Decision,
I hope he is.
The decision on Justin Fields comes at the same time it came with Mitch Trubisky.
Thank you.
After year 3. I don't care what he looks like now. All the good signs, all the bad things I see, I have to judge him after year three because that's when I have to make a decision to pay him.
The Bears could not pay Mitch, just like the Browns are not going to be able to. They'd be crazy to pay Baker. It's why, you know, Washington played the game with the franchise tag, and some people think they handled it properly because they never really committed long-term dollars and tied up their salary cap. I still think they probably overpaid him too much, but Washington did it with Kirk Cousins. Why do you think they never wanted to pay him? Because they knew.
Right. How do you like me now?
And Kirk's pretty good. Like, in Kirk's defense, he's pretty good. He's not great. He's overpaid.
Yeah, I've got an answer for Mike, too. He goes, what kind of contract do you think he's going to sign next year? You ready to hear what kind of contract he's going to sign? 2 years, $15 million deal, $7.5 million a year to be a backup somewhere. That's what Mitch Trubisky will
sign. I don't think there's going to be this great bidding war for Mitch. I just don't. Well, poor Mitch, he didn't look good the other day either. Now, either did Josh Allen, really. But
Josh Allen hasn't looked good for a little while now.
Yeah, he's not quite the same.
The bloom is off that off of that rose up there in Buffalo, isn't it? And now that they've been bypassed, have they not?
Yes, they have. The New England Patriots are
back where they belong.
New England's in first.
On top of the NFC East.
All right, when Matt Nagy's done talking, we're going to turn some of that around. We'll hang out for a little while longer here. We'll cut into Greeny. He'll be on in a little bit. Waddle and Sylvie up at 2. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be back in 2 minutes.